My dear brother priests, we gather as brothers in Christ Jesus in a bond which we share with all of God's holy people, first received in sacred baptism, then completed in sacred and sacramental confirmation. Called from among God's holy people to be the servants of all, as well as both the ministers of his holy sacraments and the custodians of the dignity of his sacraments. We priests have received sacramental ordination. At the beginning of the Holy Year of Redemption in 1983, in his letter to the priests of the world for Holy Thursday, Pope St. John Paul II offered a marvelous reflection on what Holy Thursday commemorates and in what we have become intimate sharers with Jesus and his apostles through sacramental ordination. Our Holy Father said this, "As we know, this day reminds us of the day on which, together with the Eucharist, the ministerial priesthood was instituted by Christ. The priesthood was instituted for the Eucharist, and therefore for the Church, which as the community of the people of God is formed by the Eucharist. This priesthood, ministerial and hierarchical, is shared by us. We received it on the day of our ordination through the ministry of the bishop, who transmitted to each one of us the sacrament begun with the apostles. For this reason, on Holy Thursday, we, the ministers of the new covenant, gather together with the bishops in the cathedrals of our local churches. We gather together before Christ, the one and eternal source of our priesthood. In this union of Holy Thursday, we find him once more, and at the same time, through him, with him, and in him, we once more find ourselves." My brothers, today at this most holy Mass, and in the presence of God and his Church, we renew those solemnly binding promises each of us made in deep faith, abiding hope and humble charity on the day of our ordination as priests. Let us recall one of the instructions we received that day, as I think it captures so beautifully who we are as priests and who we should always strive to be as priests. As we listen to the bishop give us the instruction on our participation in the threefold office of Christ the High Priest, to teach, to sanctify, and to shepherd God's people. Immediately following upon the offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, we heard this: "Remember, when you forgive sins in the name of Christ and the Church in the sacrament of penance, that you are taken from among men and appointed on their behalf for those things that pertain to God. Therefore, carry out the ministry of Christ the priest with constant joy and genuine love, attending not to your concerns, but to those of Jesus Christ." 10 days ago, on March 20th, the church celebrated the memorial of Saint John Nepomucene, hailed as the martyr of the confessional. Reading of his own life as a priest confessor, clearly he embodied that which each of us was admonished and exhorted to do when we were ordained. Because he carried out the ministry of Christ the priest with joy and love, not attending to his own concerns, but to those of Christ, he was made the chaplain to the court of King Wenceslaus IV of Bohemia and the personal confessor to the queen. John refused to reveal to the king what the queen had confessed. And even though John was tortured, he did not violate the seal of confession. For that, the king had John murdered on March 20th in 1393, and his body was thrown into the Moldau River in Prague. St. John Nepomucene was canonized in 1729. In an unbloody way, you and I and every priest are to be today's martyrs of the confessional. We are always to be the martyrs, that is, the living witnesses of the justice of God, the mercy of God, and the unconditional loving forgiveness of God, who, for all who are sincerely sorry for their sins and confess them and are firmly resolved not to sin again. A week ago today, Monday of the fifth week of Lent, the gospel recounted that powerful moment in the life of Jesus when he encounters the woman caught in the act of adultery. My brothers and sisters, all of us should meditate on this passage often, daily. This encounter with Jesus is a veritable school for each of us as penitents. My brother priests, this encounter with Jesus is a vade mecum for you and me as priest confessors. All of us, like this woman, stand before God accused by our own sins. She does not deny her sin, nor should we. She is ashamed of her sin, as we should be. She waits for the punishment she deserves. But from Jesus, she receives not condemnation, but mercy, and the charge to accept his mercy and allow it to transform her very life and person. She teaches all of us the how and the why all of us must frequent this sacrament. My brothers, look at Jesus. He does not reject the accusers of this woman, but shows them the truth of their own lives and offers them the opportunity to repent. He looks at this woman with compassion, but he tells her the truth of what she has done, not to condemn her, but to give her what only he can give: mercy, forgiveness, and a new life. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, recently spoke to to a world gathering of confessors attached to the Apostolic Penitentiary, and he spoke on the sacrament of reconciliation. And he said this, "Without doubt, among the sacraments, it is that of reconciliation that best shows the merciful face of God. We must never forget, either as penitents or as confessors, there is no sin that God cannot forgive, none. Only what is hidden from divine mercy cannot be forgiven. Like those that hide themselves from the sun cannot be illuminated or warmed." Pope Francis spoke of three demands that the sacrament of reconciliation makes on us, its ministers. It demands that we educate God's people in mercy by teaching in word and example the necessity of this wondrous sacrament. It demands that we allow ourselves to be educated by those who receive this sacrament in the true meaning of conversion. And it demands that we never lose sight of the supernatural fact that we are ministers of mercy, thanks to God's mercy. In today's first reading, Isaiah speaks of the promised Messiah as the one sent to bring glad tidings, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners. Jesus declares that in him today, this prophecy is fulfilled in our hearing. At the very heart of the glad tidings, the good news is the healing of the terminal sickness of sin, the freeing of the sinner from the darkness of sin, the release of the sinner from sin's enslavement. Jesus did this, and he has entrusted to his priests the faithful continuation of his ministry of truth and mercy through the sacrament of penance. As priest confessors, reflect with me for a moment on the nature of our ministry of mercy. First, how do we prepare ourselves to hear the confessions of our people? Do we pray for an increase in the zeal and thirst for souls which Jesus has? Do we pray for the resolve to take on ourselves the burdens of the sins of our people in order to allow God's grace to heal them? Second, do we listen to our people's sins with attention and speak to them as Jesus spoke to the woman in the gospel? In other words, do we tell them the truth in love and compassion so that they can be resolved to sin no more? And finally, do we celebrate this great sacrament as the church celebrates it, not adding or omitting anything, but saying and doing only what the church does and what our people have the right to receive from the church through us? The confessional is not a prison cell, nor is it a courtroom. The confessional is like the burning bush a fire with God's love which does not destroy, but reveals his presence to his people. We are not the judge, jury, and executioner of crimes, but we are the chosen ministers of God's truth and mercy. We certainly are not worthy of this privilege and responsibility, but by the grace of God and his wisdom, we who have been shown such great mercy and compassion are to extend his mercy and compassion. As I close, allow me to quote once more from Pope St. John Paul II. In his letter to the priests of the world for Holy Thursday in 1986, he spoke of the sacrament of reconciliation, and he concluded by saying this: "It is necessary that the priest himself should make frequent use of this sacrament. Always be convinced of this, dear brother priests. This ministry of mercy is one of the most beautiful and most consoling. It enables you to enlighten consciences, to forgive them, and to give them fresh vigor in the name of the Lord Jesus. It enables you to be for them a spiritual physician and counselor. It remains the irreplaceable manifestation and the test of the priestly ministry. Praised be Jesus Christ."